You're listening to the TaxCast from the Tax Justice Network, available to everyone for download and broadcast on www.tackletaxhavens.com. I'm Naomi Fowler, and each month I'll be bringing you news and analysis of a subject our politicians don't want to talk about: tax havens, the secrets of the shadow banking system, and financial abuses that have brought the world economy to its knees. I'll show you what's really going on, how we're paying for it, and what we can do about it. But first, the TaxCast news headlines for this month. Tax havens and banks like HSBC, Citibank and Barclays are in the spotlight this month. That's because without their help, the former governor of an oil-rich state in Nigeria would have been unable to launder around $250 million worth of stolen state assets. James Iwori, sentenced this month, used shell companies and tax havens to hide the money. It looks like he'll be the only one to be prosecuted, even though banks and lawyers are legally obliged to report suspicious transactions to the authorities. They did not, even when Iwori deposited £1.5 million, mostly in cash, at a London branch of Barclays Bank. Last year, the British banking regulator, the Financial Services Authority, said banks were systematically failing to carry out proper money laundering checks. The Tax Justice Campaign wants all countries to publish the identity of the real owners of companies and to close down the tax havens that are facilitating theft on such a large scale. John Christensen.
Economists must recognise tax havens for what they are. They are highly parasitical, highly harmful. They encourage criminal activity, they enable criminal activity, and they have to be closed down.
One of Britain's biggest online businesses, Amazon UK, has paid no corporation tax in the country on sales of over £7 billion. They appear to have avoided tax by transferring ownership to a company in the tax haven of Luxembourg. Estimates are they may have avoided up to £100 million in corporation tax. Amazon's already under investigation in the US, China, Germany, France, Japan, and in Luxembourg itself. The UK's Revenue and Customs may now join them. This month, a global tax race has begun. On April Fool's Day, Japan lowered its corporate tax rate to 36.8%. In 3 years' time, they're dropping it to 34.5%. The US has cut its official corporate tax rate to 28%. Although many US companies are actually averaging a 12% rate on their profits. Not to be outdone, the UK is cutting its rate to 22% by 2015. The British government says it wants to offer the lowest corporate tax rate of all the G8 countries. Fair tax campaigners say it'll mean an increase in the negative income tax rates enjoyed by the US's largest companies, who are getting billions in tax breaks. And while companies like ExxonMobil, General Electric and FedEx pay no tax, ordinary tax-paying US citizens had to meet this month's deadline to file their tax returns. Teacher Teresa Cagliari joined the protests for fairer taxation.
If everybody paid their fair share, $47 billion in taxes would be added and reduce our budget. When the wealthy and corporations do not pay their taxes, we have to pay more or watch our vital services disappear. This is not the American way.
And those are the TaxCast headlines. Now we're going to catch up with economist Richard Murphy for his take on tax justice news this month. OK, Richard, let's have a look at what's been happening this month. Let's start with UNCTAD. Tell us what that is and what's going on with that.
UNCTAD is the United Nations Committee on Trade, Aid and Development. The committee is having its biannual conference. Now, these conferences tend to be fairly low-key and attract little attention. This year is absolutely different from that. Basically, the G8 states have told UNCTAD to steer clear of talking about macroeconomic issues, in particular globalization, the financial crisis, what its cause was, and has told UNCTAD not to get heavy about demanding reform with regard to, for example, the financial services system and its impact upon developing countries. Now, UNCTAD has very large numbers of developing countries there. They've got really angry this time round, and have begun a fight back, saying we will not be told what we may or may not do. The reason why this is important is that it shows that developing countries are now willing to use the United Nations to pursue their goals. That has a spillover effect for another little-known United Nations committee, which is its tax committee. That committee promotes tax standards which favour developing countries, but it has always been told, sit back, let the OECD, the rich countries club, run the show. Well, this might be the precedent that encourages the developing countries and the BRICS countries, the Brazils, the Russias, the Indias, the Chinas, to actually say, no, we want to renegotiate the terms of trade with regard to physical trade and the taxation of it through these two United Nations committees so we get our fair share in global development. And if they do, that's excellent news for those countries.
So there's a very interesting battle going on. Tell us about India and the latest with the Vodafone tax situation, because there's something very interesting going on there too.
India seems to have really taken the tax battle to heart. India lost its tax case against Vodafone in the Supreme Court in India. But what it has said is, we think the law was meant to ensure that tax was due. If there was a fault in the law, we're going to correct it by backdating the correcting legislation. There is a very clear precedent. Barclays was exploiting a loophole in UK legislation that was going to cost £500 million in tax. The UK immediately put in place new legislation, retrospectively backdated. The absolutely absurd situation is that since India has announced it's putting in place backdated legislation, George Osborne, the UK Chancellor of the Exchequer, has been over there to tell India it mustn't put in place backdated retrospective tax legislation when he's just done exactly the same thing for exactly the same purpose. The hypocrisy is extraordinary. But India is clearly not going to take continuing abuse from large companies and wealthy individuals using tax havens. It has announced in its recent budget that it is going to introduce a general anti-avoidance principle into its law, which will basically abolish the use of tax havens, and it's a really tough principle. The UK, again, is actually supposedly doing one of these things, but it's going for the weakest possible principle, which will absolutely continue to allow the use of tax havens. India is trailing the way. They really are pioneering the changes that are necessary to bring international profits into tax in the countries where they were really earned. And for that, they must be applauded.
Okay, let's move on to the European Union, because the European Union Parliament has done something quite interesting this month.
In the last couple of weeks, the European Parliament has passed a very important resolution on tax. It has to be said immediately that the European Parliament can't actually impose tax rules on individual member states inside the European Union. So the importance of this is symbolic and political. But what it's basically done is pass a resolution massively backed by a very large majority to adopt the entire tax justice network approach towards taxation. It has asked for full country-by-country reporting. It has criticised the deals that are being signed with Switzerland. It is asking for full automatic information exchange between member states on the income earned by people resident in one country that is earned in another country. It is demanding better information put on public record with regard to companies. It's asking for a register of trusts. This will help put pressure on each individual member state government to say, this is the standard to which we aspire, and this is the standard towards which Europe is saying we want you to go.
Declarations and adopting principles and endorsing ideas are all very well. How is this really going to translate on the ground to practical change, do you think?
The real changes in tax that are going to come over the next few years, and I think they're going to be very significant, will come for one major reason, and that is that tax revenue is now just about the scarcest commodity that we know of in Europe. It is pushing us into recession. So collecting tax is critical. The debate on tax is shifting very, very quickly indeed. Now the mood has changed. It's moved against the tax avoiders. It's moved against the large corporations. Instead, we are seeing demands, even in the right-wing press, for corporations to be held to account. And this demand is going to come from the ground. And that's the importance of this resolution as well, because it indicates that politicians are hearing what we're saying and endorsing it.
Thanks, Richard. Richard Murphy of The Courageous State. And now for the TaxCast special feature. About half of all world trade takes place through tax havens, losing billions in tax revenue to governments everywhere. And that's just the way the largest corporations want it. Not only is it holding back wealthy economies struggling to recover from the financial crisis, it's also stopping developing countries from improving their economies and the lives of their poorest citizens. This month, the TaxCast goes to Zambia. These Zambian miners are angry, very angry. They want to be paid higher wages. And that's not all. Mining companies like the one they work for are making a fortune. That should be good news for Zambians, but it's not. Because these miners are paying more in income tax than the big mines are paying in corporation tax.
You see the problem which is now going to face our government and our people.
Economist Dr. Matthias Mfandi at a recent conference in Zambia on mineral taxation.
The economists say this is the 10th fastest growing economy. But this is the poorest country after Niger. The social indicators in Zambia are very poor. We have to create enough capital which we can invest in public utilities and services. See the amount of wealth that Sweden and Norway have created for mining. That's where we should be going.
Zambia's Centre for Trade Policy and Development has been following the tax affairs of one particular company in Zambia. Xavier Mwamba's done the sums.
The company that we've been following alone, just one company, over a period of 2 years, we believe not less than £50 million was lost by the government of Zambia, by that company avoiding to pay taxes.
£50 million.
Over 2 years. But that is more than what the British government gave to Zambia in aid over the same period.
If those estimates are correct, that means that Zambia would not be dependent on aid if it was able to collect all that tax.
Absolutely, absolutely. Most countries, including Zambia, would not actually need aid if companies were paying the kind of taxes they ought to pay. So it's also in the best interest of European countries also and European citizens to make sure that their governments are doing everything possible they can. If Europe is serious about its rhetoric against corruption, they should fight things like tax avoidance.
So it's a no-brainer, isn't it? Zambia needs to tax more fairly. The rest of the world needs to help that happen. Well, it's not quite as easy as that. Martin Hearson of ActionAid.
These are mines owned by major multinational companies and they're making large amounts of money for shareholders back in wherever it is, Switzerland or the UK, because they're able to shift their profits out of Zambia and elsewhere before they get taxed, often benefiting from the secrecy of tax havens as they do it. They manage to get almost no tax bill at all in Zambia a lot of the time.
And many developing countries believe it's the rich country club of the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, or the OECD, that's holding back proper reform. After all, two of the world's largest hubs for tax havens are the UK and the US.
African countries and other developing countries are not members of the OECD, so they don't have a voice in shaping these rules. Developed countries like UK lead in forming these rules, and these rules currently are making it easy for big companies to avoid paying tax in Zambia. So that is why one of the things we're calling for is this transparency around the way companies trade across borders and also the way companies report. We need companies to be compelled to report on an individual basis up to the detailed level, which is not the case now.
Yes, you heard right. Multinational companies don't have to report their profits based on which country they made them. So they can spin the secrecy jurisdiction wheel and decide which low-tax economy they want to declare in. Developing countries are now trying to get international trade rule reform through other bodies like the African Union and the United Nations. The UN says it wants to halve world poverty by 2015. Well, it's not rocket science. Developing countries are losing about $160 billion a year in unpaid corporate taxes through a system largely facilitated by wealthy countries. So, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most corrupt of them all? You've been listening to the TaxCast. We'll bring you more news and analysis next month.